It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
He is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this.
I would rather play with 10 people rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Jay Bish.
Acknowledge me.
I don't know if you're a wrestling fan or not, but we are home stretch toward WrestleMania, and I think it's like April 18th, something like that. So that weekend for sure. It's a two-day event, and ticket sales have been, by WWE standards, have been really light. I believe they've got about half of the stadium. So they do WrestleManias in, you know, big stadiums, and they've got half the tickets sold that they sold from last year. The interesting thing is last year they did it in Las Vegas. They're doing it again this year in Las Vegas. So last year they sold a whole bunch of tickets. They sold out both nights. And this year, 1 year later, same venue, same place, about half of that. Granted, the ticket prices have gone up from what they were last year. I think that's kind of significant. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I am a wrestling fan. WrestleMania is a big deal, but there was a segment on Monday Night Raw where a wrestler, if you don't know who he is, his name is CM Punk, his real name is Phil Brooks. He did a segment where he pretty well went off on the ticket sales. Of course, the WWE was bought out by TKO last year, year before, somewhere in that range. And the gentleman that runs TKO is a man that is also part owner of UFC. Both of those entities are under the umbrella of TKO, and CM Punk took a shot at him, basically point blank telling him on live TV that he owns, by the way, or at least he's a big stakeholder, to lower the ticket prices, and did it in a very unfriendly way. So, you know, is that an angle? Probably. You know, very seldom are you ever going to see a wrestler get on live TV and say something that was not approved to be on television. The lone exception of that is this aforementioned wrestler and CM Punk. Of course, if you're a wrestling fan, you're familiar with the pipe bomb. He was the one that delivered it back in the 2012, 2013-ish, somewhere in that range, where he did get on TV and, as the term is, went into business for himself, a wrestling term, where he said a lot of things critical of WWE that was not approved. He shortly thereafter left WWE, and while he was still under contract, just said, "I'm done with this." And so they end up bringing him back a few years ago. He's been a huge draw. He had not been in WWE in a decade. Huge draw, one of their main top guys. A lot of financial stuff going on with the ticket sales. Again, prices are through the roof. People just can't afford it with everything else that's going on with ticket prices, or, you know, just everything, prices of everything being up. And he went off. Pat McAfee got involved in an angle pertaining to Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, and made some disparaging comments about the status of the WWE. And I am 100% certain that was definitely an angle, but I think maybe it was an angle that CM Punk took exception to, because the thing is, in his promo, when you're watching it, he doesn't ever reference WWE. Everything he said was pointed at TKO and the folks that are running TKO. Now, there's a gentleman named Paul Levesque. He's also a former wrestler. He went under the name of Triple H. He's basically running WWE. No shots fired by CM Punk at Paul Levesque. It was Ariel Ferreira, and it was TKO in particular. And yeah, I know, could very well be an angle trying to drive up ticket sales. And if it is, that's very creative, very smart. But if it's not, That was definitely an interesting angle. All right, so I spent over 5 minutes talking wrestling. I wanted to take 30 seconds. That's how big of a wrestling fan I am. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk some Braves injuries. I'm going to take down, break down Region 1-5A high school football. I'm going to tell you the teams that I think are going to make the playoffs. I'm also going to do that for 1-7A as well. We're going to talk about the brawl between Soler and Ronaldo Lopez. And then just some other stuff that I want to touch on while we're in the air. This is one of those shows, again, I've had a lot of these lately where we've got less time than we do content. So we're going to do our very, very best. So I'm 6 minutes in, and what I don't want to do now I've really put myself in a bind. What I don't want to do is I don't want to get into breaking down these regions and who I think is going to make the playoffs with literally 2 to 3 minutes to do. I don't want to do that because I don't think it's going to do it justice. So a completely wasted first segment, but, you know, sometimes on this show we go off the rails. This segment, which is basically nothing, of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, Golden Isles Collision Center, the SouthernSportsEdition.com, Companions for Heroes, and the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. The expert team at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery treats athletes of all ages and abilities. Let our board-certified orthopedic surgeons and specialists get you back in the game quickly and safely. Call Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery at 912-466-7340 or visit sghs.org. That's 912-466-7340. All right, so, yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take – normally we don't take this break until around – somewhere between the 9 and 12 minute mark. We are 7.5 in. We're going to take an early break so that I can come back and dedicate honest good time to Region 1-5A, which, by the way, Wayne County Yellow Jackets, Statesboro Blue Devils, Benedictine Cadets, all you. Ware County Gators, too.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, 1-855-275-7447. The Southeast Bullock Yellow Jackets have announced their 2026 class for the Southeast Bullock Athletic Hall of Fame. This year's inductees are former basketball standout Preston Wilson, former football and baseball star Jim Starling, former basketball player and track record holder Gerald Williams, and finally, baseball coach Brandon Peterson. The class will be inducted on April the 18th at 7 p.m. at Southeast Bullock High School. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple-A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. family, fun.
Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org.
Sports are a little different down here, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com is your go-to for all things Southern sports. The most complete high school football coverage in the state. Braves, Bulldogs, Jags, Falcons, anything SEC and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com is also your home for the Jason Bishop Show, Georgia's most listened to sports show, high school football coaches shows, and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com. Friday Night Lights and sweet tea.
There are eight teams in Region 1-5A. The Ware County Gators, the Benedictine Cadets, Jenkins Warriors, Statesboro Blue Devils, Wayne County Yellow Jackets, Evans, Richmond Academy, and Groves. Those are your eight teams that are in that region. Now remember, this is the first year of new region, so this is a brand new region, and they have changed the playoff format, the GHSA has, to where formerly, if you were a top four seed in your region, you got an automatic bid and you were in the playoffs. They have changed that to where they're going to do power rankings. So what that means is, just because you don't finish inside the top four, you could still make the playoffs. And that also, on the other side of the coin, doesn't necessarily mean a guaranteed berth just in case you finish inside the top four. You will have some cases where you're going to have some regions that are going to send five, maybe even six teams into the playoff bracket. There are only 32 teams that get in per classification. So there are going to be some instances where a team finishes fourth and does not get into the playoffs, where another region that might have been a little bit stronger sends a team, a fifth or sixth team from that region, in their place. So you have to keep that in mind when we're talking about this. Again, Ware County, Benedictine, Jenkins, Statesboro, Wayne, Evans, Richmond Academy, and Groves. Those are your 1-5A schools. I don't think that there is much debate about the top three teams in that region. I think all three of these teams that I'm about to mention are locks to get into the playoffs. Benedictine and Ware are perennial powerhouses. Jenkins has come onto the scene in the last four or five seasons, and they have been state title contenders year in, year out as well. But there is some debate past that. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, Golden House Collision Center, the SouthernSportsEdition.com, Companions for Heroes, and the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Golden House Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden House Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 off I-95 in Brunswick, 912-263-4422. Golden House Collision Center, friendly, honest service. So, again, Ware County, Benedictine, and Jenkins, I think, are all going to be in the playoffs just based on the type of seasons that we have been accustomed to them having. Where things get dicey is past three. So I'll tell you where I think these teams are going to finish first off within region. That still matters a little bit, but not as much as it used to. So I think Ware's going to win the region. I think Benedictine is going to come away with a two, and Jenkins is going to get the three. I think Statesboro is going to finish fourth, and I think Wayne is going to finish fifth. I'll take Evans at sixth, Groves seventh, and I've got Richmond Academy finishing eighth in the region. I don't see Evans, Richmond Academy, or Groves, any of those schools, having a strong enough show to get them into the playoffs. So I think those three teams are out. I gave you three teams that I thought were definitely in. I'm going to give you three teams that I think are definitely out. So, you know, we'll see how the season plays out. The two teams that are very interesting to me that I think are both going to be kind of on the bubble here, Statesboro and Wayne County. Again, I've got Statesboro finishing fourth in the region. Under the old rules, they would have gotten in if they did finish fourth. I don't know that's going to be the case. It just really depends on what Statesboro and Wayne do outside of their region. I think it's a foregone conclusion. I really do. Statesboro nor Wayne are going to beat the big three in that region. They're not going to beat Ware. They're not going to beat Benedictine. They're not going to beat Jenkins. So that's three losses right off the cuff to both of those schools in region. I've got Statesboro beating Wayne when they play. So that would give Wayne four region losses. More importantly, that's four total losses, and that's just in region. If Wayne were to, and so with four losses, right, you do the math, they play 10 games with four losses, that would put Wayne at 6-4 if they won out every other game. I don't know that that's going to happen. And if they drop another game, now they're 5-5. Are there going to be some 5-5 teams that get in? Sure, I think so. I don't know if Wayne's going to be one of them with what their schedule looks like. They're going to have to win. They're going to, in my opinion, they're going to have to win six games. They're going to have to win all of those games that they're supposed to, the non-region games and the games they're supposed to win in region for the Wayne County Yellow Jackets to get in. Now, for Statesboro, it's a little bit of a different animal. Their schedule is, and granted, Wayne County's schedule is much better than what it's been the last couple of years. But it's still, Wayne is a program that is trying to bounce back. I think they've won one game in the last two seasons. So they've gone like 1-19, whatever that is. Yeah, 1-19 in the last 2 years. So, nowhere but up to go for the Wayne County Yellow Jackets. And look, I think if they go 5-5, that's a win for the Yellow Jackets program, considering you won one game the year before and none the year before that. So even 5-5 and not making the playoffs should feel like a win for the Yellow Jackets. Now, the Blue Devils are a little different. They have made the playoffs the last few seasons. But remember, now, this is a rich history, a lot of tradition at Statesboro. They've got state championships at Womack Field. And let's be honest, since the early 2000s, Statesboro has not been that perennial state power that we had accustomed to them being. They have consistently made the playoffs. And the only thing about that is when they do make the playoffs, it's typically as a four seed. They've just barely been getting in the years that they do get in. They've made it more often than not. There have been some seasons that they didn't. But that's kind of where the program is. It's kind of that fringe playoff team that typically when they get in, they get trounced by a number one seed in the first round. And again, there won't be number one seeds in this year's playoff. They're just going to rank them 1 through 32. So we'll see where Statesboro falls. But interestingly enough, Statesboro is going to open with Southeast Bullock, and then they're going to play Burke, ECI. Those are their non-region, three non-region games, Southeast Bullock, Burke, and ECI. And then they've got, and their schedule really breaks down interestingly. The Southeast Bullock game is in Brooklet, and then they get Burke and ECI at Womack. They will then get Benedictine and Ware, both of them, in Womack. Now look, Womack's still a tough place to go and win. It is. Great environment. Tough environment for teams coming in. It's just that the talent on the field has not translated to what the environment is over the last, I don't know, decade, two and a half decades, whatever it is. A decade and a half. We'll do decade and a half to be fair. So Benedictine and Ware, both of those teams should come in and win, but that's a tricky game. Then they will be on the road back-to-back games. They should win both of these games, Groves and Richmond Academy, on the road. They'll get a bye, and then they'll stay on the road the whole month of October. They don't play at home. The whole month of October, they're either not playing or they're on the road. They go on the road October 23rd at Evans and then at Jenkins. I think they'll get the game at Evans. They're not going to Jenkins and winning. And then they'll wrap up November the 6th against Wayne County. That Wayne County Statesboro game at the end of the season could very well determine a team getting in and a team getting left out. It very well could. It could be a de facto playoff play-in game for those two schools, because I think that both of those schools are going to kind of be at the same point. I think they're both going to be, 5-4 or, 6-4 or 6-3 or something like that. Or maybe even 4-5, somewhere in that range, around 500, needing the win to give themselves a legitimate chance to be included in the field of 32 in 5A. We'll see how that goes. So I've got Statesboro going 6-4 overall and getting into the playoffs. I've got them as the fourth team in from Region 1-5A. I do think Region 1-5A will send four if that four seed is 6-4, and I think Statesboro's got a really good shot at that. I think they'll beat Southeast Bullock. I don't think they'll beat Burke. I do think they'll beat ECI. Lower classification, not as much depth. But ECI, they've got a lot of tradition there too. They're not beating Benedictine. They're not beating Ware. They'll beat Groves, Richmond Academy. They'll beat Evans. They won't beat Jenkins. And then Wayne County, I've got them beating the Yellow Jackets, but that could be a coin flip game. Quite honestly, it probably is a coin flip game. And like I said, could determine who's going home and who's not. So for the Wayne County Yellow Jackets, I've got them 5-5. I've got them losing those four region games that I told you about, and then one out of region, which will put them at 5-5. And it puts them on the bubble and more than likely will exclude them from the 2026 playoffs. I've got Ware County winning that region and Benedictine finishing second. And look, I know I said Jenkins too, right? A shoe-in to get those three teams are shoe-ins. But let's be honest here. Jenkins is a very good football team, but I don't think they're quite on the level of Ware and Benedictine. So I'm picking Ware to win the region, but don't be stunned if Benedictine beats Ware and wins the region, because that's probably what it's going to come down to in that region as far as who's going to win it, is the winner of the Ware County Benedictine game. I think that Jenkins probably loses to both Ware and Benedictine. That gives them two region losses. And then, the loser of Ware and Benedictine has one loss, and they would be the de facto, they'll finish second, because, again, no more seedings, no more two seeds. They'll just get ranked somewhere in the bracket, which at first glance, I don't think I like it, but we'll see. Hopefully they'll do it better than the GISA. What a train wreck that is.
No matter the temperature outside, the AC guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Train dealer and Train comfort specialist, high quality work, Train professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys. Hey guys, spring is here, and that means wedding and engagement season has arrived. So if you've been thinking about popping the question, then make sure you pop on over to Cunningham Jewelers and let their friendly staff help you find that perfect ring for that perfect someone, no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912 326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.
For hometown honest, friendly service from a name you can trust, come on in to Floyd Tire. Lowell and his family will take care of you and your friends and neighbors like their own. 2928 Norwich Street, across from the Dollar General. Tires, alignment, minor mechanic, and brakes. 912-264-6578. Pop on in to Floyd Tire. We'd love to see you Monday through Thursday, 7 to 4:30, and Fridays, 7 to 3:30. Floyd Tire, a name you can trust.
Cold weather is upon us. Gentlemen's and Lady Outfitters has you covered with the best selection. Quarter zips and sweaters for men and women are on sale now. Johnny O, Duckhead, AFCO, and your exclusive dealer of Back 70 for men and women. Second generation, locally owned, and your destination for apparel since 1994. In the Harris Teeter Shopping Center, Gentlemen and Ladies Outfitters, keeping you and your family in style.
The networks were hoping for Duke, Arizona. I mean, they just were in the NCAA basketball tournament. They were hoping for Duke, Arizona. They got Michigan and UConn instead. That's not a bad championship game when you're talking about pedigree, tradition, blue bloods, and the ratings were decent enough to make it worth their while. I do think it would have been a ratings bonanza if you did get Duke and Arizona. Cards didn't fall their way in the tournament. Michigan ends up winning the national championship. So, just wanted to touch on that before. Again, you know, networks love Blue Bloods because Blue Bloods equals ratings. Ratings equals revenue dollars. Revenue dollars equals profit bottom line. So that's what the networks root for. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by Golden Isles Collision Center, the SouthernSportsEdition.com, Companions for Heroes, and the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. AAA baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. That's jaxshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball, affordable family fun. So I told you I wanted to break down Region 1 7A as well, and I'm going to keep my word on that. Of course, that is known as the SEC of high school football, and I think that has become more arguable over the last decade. However, that region consists of five schools: Colquitt, Lowndes, Valdosta, Richmond Hill, and Camden. I think that this region is going to get four teams in as well. And the unique part about this particular region, it is the only region in 7A that consists of any South Georgia teams. The rest of that classification is mostly Atlanta schools and some schools north of Atlanta. That is the representation of that region. Again, they do this on school enrollment. That's how they classify. The higher the school enrollment, the higher the classification. A bunch of Atlanta schools, some schools north of Atlanta. There are literally five South Georgia teams total in Region 7A. Five total. There's like 60 schools in 7A total, 60-ish, somewhere in that range. So Colquitt, Lowndes, Valdosta, Richmond Hill, and Camden are your schools in that classification. The reason I brought up about the region being the only South Georgia region, I would think that the GHSA, who is the entity that's going to be picking these teams, 1 through 32, I would think they're going to make a concerted effort to, at bare minimum, try to their very, very, very best to include four of those five schools to get in, just so they've got some South Georgia representation somewhere, not just one or two teams. So I really think the GHSA is going to make a very arguable case. And they're, you know, oh, we're going to do it by power rankings. Power rankings are not supposed to be biased. Yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. You know, and quite honestly, the GHSA has not really shown a whole lot of preferential treatment to the South Georgia teams, not just in 7A, it's across the board. GHSA is a very Atlanta-friendly organization. They will tell you that they're fair and balanced. Not from what I've seen in the two-plus decades that I've been involved with high school football. I think Colquitt's going to win the region. I think they're a shoe-in to get in. So in this region, I think there are three locks to get into the playoffs. Those locks are Colquitt, who I think is going to win, Lowndes, and Valdosta. I think those three schools will get in based upon what I think they're going to do in the regular season. I think things get a little interesting when you get down to Richmond Hill and Camden. Camden is coming into a season where their starting quarterback, who was a four-star commit to Arkansas, he transferred in from Florida a couple of years ago under Travis Rowland, who is no longer there. Tucker Pruitt is now the coach at Camden. Travis Rowland resigned from Camden. And right on cue, Will Jackson, the quarterback that was there, with 1 year remaining, it would have been his senior season, transferred back to Florida. So Camden's coming in with some quarterback questions, and I think that's interesting. What this is going to boil down to is I believe that the winner of the Richmond Hill-Camden game will more than likely, worst case scenario, put themselves on the bubble. I think the loser of that game is out. OUT out. Because I don't think that Richmond Hill or Camden is going to beat Lowndes, Valdosta, and Colquitt at all. Now look, if they do find a way to beat one of the big three, Camden, you know, we used to talk about the big four, and you know, Camden's has some success. You know, when Jeff Heron was there, he really put them on the map, and then he left. He came back, did a really good job of kind of putting them back to some respectability. And then the last couple of years under Travis Rowland, they haven't done so well in the playoffs. And they did not do well in the region at all. They didn't win a game in the region other than, I think, Tift. They didn't win a game in the region against Colquitt, Lowndes, and Valdosta. They lost all six of those matchups in the 2 years. You cannot do that at Camden and remain the head coach. They're just not going to tolerate it. So Tucker Pruitt comes in his first year. I've got Camden going 5-5, and I've got them 0-4 in the region. I think it's going to be, you know, what would be considered a down year. So I just want to run through their schedule really quick. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on it because we did preview their schedule several weeks back. August the 21st, they open at Glenn County Stadium against Brunswick. Brunswick's got their own quarterback issues coming in. They lost Grant Moore, who was the quarterback there, set all sorts of Brunswick High records. Hezzy Kent is no longer there. He is now at the University of Florida. So no Grant Moore, no Hezzy Kent. That was a high-flying offense. New coach as well, Byron Slack, who looks to be a really good fit for the Pirates, I'll say that. Disciplinarian guy. You know, I'm not going to say my way or the highway, but hey, man, here's the line. Let's not put our toes over it. He's that kind of coach. I think Brunswick will have a good year, and I think Camden gets the Brunswick game. I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. No Hezzy Kent, no Grant Moore. I don't think that offense is going to be as prolific as it has been over the last three or four seasons. They do have two great running backs, but I like Camden to win the game at Glenn County Stadium. The next week, they're at home against the Glenn Academy Red Terrors. I like Glenn a lot. I think Glenn is a super under-the-radar dark horse. I think they're more talented than what people are going to give them credit for, but I do like Camden to win the game at Chris Gilman. September the 4th, they'll go to Benedictine. Nope, not winning that game. Then they get into this Florida thing, and let me tell you something. With these power rankings, If Camden's going to have any shot of making the playoffs under this new ranking system, they had better win all three games that they're playing out of state, because the way it works is those teams that you play out of state, if you lose to them, regardless of where they are or how good they are in their respective state, if you lose to an out-of-state team in that formula, it is a killer. You lose to an out-of-state team and you're on the bubble, you're not getting in. It is a huge detriment to where your power ranking comes in if you lose to an out-of-state team. So Camden better win all three of those games against Godbee, Ed White, and West Broward. They'd better win all three. They'll get a bye before they start region play. They'll go to Lowndes, the Concrete Palace, one of the most difficult places to win in the state. They'll host Richmond Hill at home at Chris Gilman. So that's kind of the coin flip game. I've got them losing to Richmond Hill. Now look, if Camden gets the Richmond Hill game, that puts them at 6-4. And it gives them a region win. I think that 6-4 with a region win in that region probably is going to be good enough to get them off the bubble and in. And that would mean that 7A, the one 7A region, would put four schools in. But I've got Richmond Hill winning. And I think Richmond Hill is going to be on the bubble, even with that win over Camden. And then they'll go to Valdosta, Bazemore Hyder. They're not going to win that game. And then they will host Colquitt. I guess that's better than playing Colquitt over in the Hogpen and Moultrie, but Colquitt's not going to lose to Camden. So they're going to start the year 5-1. They're going to finish 5-5. 0-4 in the region, 5-5 is what I think. Again, Tucker Pruitt coming in, new coach, new system, new attitude. Tucker Pruitt is going to preach toughness, and that is what when Camden is good, that is what their mantra is toughness. And when they've been bad, there hasn't been a lot of toughness in the football team. And I don't mean just physical toughness, although that is part of it, but mental toughness too. And I don't think you're going to have a Tucker Pruitt team that is going to be mentally soft or physically soft. So I think they'll play with all of those schools. I don't think we're going to see, you know, a blowout like we did. Valdosta last year put 60 on Camden. And I think that game was at home, if I'm not mistaken. I think that game was at Chris Gilman. I think Valdosta came to Chris Gilman and put 60 on the Wildcats. If they get the Richmond Hill game, I do think that's enough to get them off the bubble and get them in. And I'm really intrigued to see what the Camden team does under Tucker Pruitt. Jeff Heron had a lot of success winning games against Colquitt, Valdosta, and Lowndes, being a more physical football team and going straight up and down the field, not running a spread. And Tucker Pruitt's going to do that. He's going to line up. He's going to run the ball between the tackles. They're not going to be one of those teams that just throw it all over the place. That's just not what Camden's going to do. That worked well for Jeff Heron. Will it work as well for Tucker Pruitt? If it does, holy cow. Then if Camden rips off one of those games against the Big Three, which not really out of the question, I just don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, now you're talking about at least a 7-3 campaign and probably a pretty high seed in that ranking. I've got them at 5-5, 0-4 in the region. And if what I think happens, Camden misses the playoffs in Tucker Pruitt's first year, which immediately puts him on the hot seat. We'll see. Tucker Pruitt's a good coach. We'll see how it goes.
No matter the temperature outside, Air Adjusters can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. They have been taking care of folks just like you for 30 years. High quality work from trained professionals. So give the hometown folks at Air Adjusters a call, a Carrier Factory authorized dealer, and financing available. 912-264-9747. Or check them out online at airadjusters.com.
Golnaz Collision Center treats you like family, because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service. At Jack's Tire and Brake, we understand the economy is tough. That's why we will always give a fair and honest price. No games, no surprises, just honest folks you know and trust. Whether it's tires, brakes, AC suspension, or any minor mechanic work, Jack's Tire and Brake will treat you right. So come on into Jack's Tire and Brake at 485 Warren Mason Road, off of 341 behind Racetrack and KFC, or give us a call 912-265-8674 and find us on Facebook.
Hey, sports fans, in case you missed it, Max Barbecue now has two locations to serve you. Max's new location, right next to Grandy's off Cypress Mill Road in Brunswick, has all of the same favorites you'll find out at the Sterling location across from Jane Macon Light, Monday through Saturday. Both locations open for lunch, and come on over for dinner at the Sterling location. Max's Barbecue. Give them a like on Facebook.
Back on the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network, and now joining us, Dr. Bo Sasser from Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of the Southeast Georgia Health System. Dr. Sasser, thank you for taking the time.
Hey, great to be here, Jason.
Hey, here's something we haven't done before. Talk Atlanta Braves injuries.
Yeah, that's the gift that keeps on giving.
This time it's Spencer Strider. We were going to talk Joey Wentz, and then Strider gets hurt, so we have options. So we're going to go with Spencer Strider, strained oblique. All right, so for those of us that don't know what a strained oblique is, which if you don't know what a strained oblique is, I can automatically tell you that you are not an Atlanta Braves fan from the late 90s to the 2000s, because Chipper loved popping an oblique. Right. So Dr. Sasser, please tell us what a strained oblique is.
So, and the oblique muscles are your core part of your core muscles in your abdomen and you know, chest and torso. So you usually strain an oblique on a hard throw, a slide, something like that. So for a pitcher, it would either be an overuse injury from, you know, too many pitches and just got flared up, or just one awkward pitch.
The Braves have offered Dr. Sasser no timetable on the return of Spencer Strider, and you know a lot more than I do about this, but from the little bit that I know, it's tough to give a time frame for this injury. Am I right?
It is. It is. We see a lot of oblique strains. You see them in pitchers. You see them in other baseball players. We see them in quarterbacks too. I mean, we've heard about quarterbacks, and we've talked about that before. And it's just one of those injuries, sort of like a hamstring strain, that might take 3 to 4 weeks, or it could take 12 to 15 weeks. And the problem is, you think it's healed, and then they tweak it again.
I have heard stories where literally they are on the road to recovery, and they are out to dinner, and they turn their torso to pick up a fork, and the thing just pops. Is it really that simple?
Right. Right. You can just tweak it again, because it'll spasm, and so you're back to square one. And that's why a lot of in the pros and in college especially, and even in high school kids, we treat these kind of with kids' gloves, because we know that they can recur quite frequently. So you want to give them plenty of time and then some.
An interesting question. We were joking before we went on the air. We were talking about Strider going on the IL with the oblique, and with where they are with their pitching, just decimated with injuries. We were kind of joking, like, suck it up and pitch. Realistically, is that something you could do if you strained an oblique? Is that something that you could play through, or is it just not feasible?
I mean, I think at their level, you could easily say, you know, just get it over the plate, which we've all done as dads to tell our son who's the pitcher, just get the one over the plate, throw a strike. And that's harder to do than all of us in the stands. So I think, yes, he could, but at the same time, would it, A, just become a nagging injury and he would be out for longer, which is probably what would happen, or B, he would go out there and just have the worst stats ever because people would just be bombing his pitches.
Again, joining us, Dr. Bo Sasser from Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. And in fairness to Strider, it's not an injury where you're like, you know, it's a hangnail. This is a pretty painful injury that you suffer, correct?
Sure, and especially as a pitcher. Exactly. And for hitters, it can affect them based on their rotation or because you put so much torque on your body. And the same thing with pitchers. They put so much torque on their core. And so when you know it's coming, you know, when you know, when I swing this bat, when I throw this ball, I'm going to feel it. Yeah. And that's the problem.
And for this injury, there's nothing they can really do as far as rehab-wise. It's just rest, right?
It's a lot of rest. I mean, you keep your core up, and so they can modify what he's doing more than anything, but it is a lot of time.
So another thing is I have seen when they do this once and then they recover from it, then whether it be 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, or even the next year, it seems like they become susceptible to this injury. I gave the example of Chipper. He had this injury 3 or 4 times in his career. Once they do it once, do you see that it repeats a lot?
I do. It's kind of like, again, I mention it because most people are very familiar with a hamstring strain, but we see athletes that have a hamstring strain and it can be a recurrent injury.
Is there anything that you can do to be able to help the player not have it recur? And what I'm talking about is anything surgically, or you just kind of have to say, hey man, you know, it's just kind of a roll of the dice?
No, I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, we talk about, and we've talked about before, the whole kinetic chain, that especially for throwers, it starts in their lower body, their quads and their glutes, and then works up into their core, to their shoulders and arm. And so for these players, they have to have great mechanics, and they can't have a breakdown in any part of that kinetic chain. Everything has to be strong, especially if you have a weak oblique, something's got to take over.
So nothing surgically?
Nothing surgically.
Yeah. Dr. Sasser, as always, I appreciate your time.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, Golden Eyes Collision Center, the SouthernSportsEdition.com, Companions for Heroes, and the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at CompanionsForHeroes.org. So on the other side of the segment, we just talked about obliques. The way that Jorge Soler was swinging at Ronaldo Lopez, it's a wonder he didn't strain an oblique.
Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service. The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would like to invite you to their new second location off of Exit 29, just down from Winn-Dixie. Golden Isles Pharmacy accepts most insurances, offers online transfers, free delivery to St. Simons in Brunswick, average in-store wait times of under 5 minutes, and a convenient drive-through at both locations. Whether it's our Altama location or Exit 29, Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. 912-266-8140 or 912-400-2929. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
That transmission not up to snuff or just need the whole thing overhauled? Shifters is your trusted source to get your vehicle running the way it should. Off the spur, in the Golden Isles Plaza, Shifters is your transmission specialist. Not just transmissions, but brakes, AC work, and general repair too. For over 25 years, this community has trusted Shifters and all of their work is warranted. 912-289-9496 and shifterstransmissions.com. Shifters, a shift in the right direction. Trying to find great family fun, but don't know where to look? Here is your answer. The Strike Zone at the end of the spur in Brunswick offers the family-friendly environment you've been looking for. Bowling, arcade, and blacklight mini golf. The Strike Zone has something for the entire family. Call or go online and reserve for your next event or birthday party. 912-265-6600. TGIStrikeZone.com.
So, interestingly enough, the Carolina Panthers are granting a tryout to former Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia. Of course, we all know who Diego Pavia is, the sensational quarterback highlight reel for the Vanderbilt Commodores. I find this interesting because, you know, they've got a quarterback that they drafted number one overall on the roster. And, you know, it hasn't gone well in the first couple of seasons. He's shown some flashes, but overall probably has not played the way they had hoped that he would be playing to this point. So they've given Pavia a tryout. We'll see where that goes, if it leads to a contract. But having him on the roster does not bode well for the incumbent quarterback. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, Golden Isles Collision Center, the SouthernSportsEdition.com, and Companions for Heroes, as well as the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. I think I said that. Sports are a little different down here, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com is your go-to for all things Southern sports, the most complete high school football coverage in the state. Braves, Bulldogs, Jags, Falcons, anything SEC, and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com is also your home for the Jason Bishop Show, Georgia's most listened to sports show, high school football coaches shows, and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com, Friday Night Lights, and Sweet Tea. So because I spent a full segment at the beginning of the show on WrestleMania and the WWE, I've got several things I want to try to get to, and we're just going to have to go rapid fire with these things. So, Ronaldo Lopez and Jorge Soler both suspended 7 games. Bigger deal for Soler than Lopez. Lopez might miss 2 starts max because he pitches once every 5 days. Soler is going to get the full 7 games. So, both of those guys, and that was something. Soler, boy, it's a good thing he didn't make contact with the way he was swinging, because he would have pulled a Mike Tyson if he had connected with Ronaldo Lopez. Trayvon Walker signs an extension with the Jacksonville Jaguars. 4 years, $110 million. 77 of that is guaranteed. Just to throw some stats at you. 43 tackles last season. 9 stuffs, which is when they try to run the ball and they don't get any yardage or loss of yardage. 43 tackles, 9 stuffs. 3.5 sacks for Trayvon Walker. Of course, Jacksonville went out 27-24 in the first round, lost to Buffalo. They went 13-4 in the regular season, 13-5 counting that loss to Buffalo. I think this is a great signing. Trayvon Walker is a stud, and he is a force on the defensive line and changes the way that an offensive play caller calls the game. You have to account for him because of his ability to stop the run and his ability to get to the passer. You say, well, he only had 3.5 sacks. Well, that is true, but 3.5 sacks, and what that meant was he got a lot of double teams, which freed up other guys to make plays. Great move by the Jaguars.
This has been the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, 1-855-275-7447. The Southeast Bullock Yellow Jackets have announced their 2026 class for the Southeast Bullock Athletic Hall of Fame. This year's inductees are former basketball standout Preston Wilson, former football and baseball star Jim Starling, former basketball player and track record holder Gerald Williams, and finally, baseball coach Brandon Peterson. The class will be inducted on April the 18th at 7 p.m. at Southeast Bullock High School. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. Family. Fun.
Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org.
Sports are a little different down here, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com is your go-to for all things Southern sports. The most complete high school football coverage in the state. Braves, Bulldogs, Jags, Falcons, anything SEC and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com is also your home for the Jason Bishop Show, Georgia's most listened to sports show, high school football coaches shows, and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com. Friday Night Lights and Sweet Tea.